If you're an education leader or visionary for improving our school mental health system, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Charlie Peck, keynote speaker and school mental health consultant. Make sure you download our free school mental health audit at thrivingeducator.org/audit to assess your current system with your mental health team. Now that's thrivingeducator.org/audit. Make sure you pick that up. All right, let's get started with today's episode. Hi, this is Charlie from the Thriving Educator Podcast. I am so excited. Phil, I want to welcome you to this show. We are going to have some fun on this episode, but we're going to dive into some good stuff. So welcome.
Thank you, Charlie. Super excited to be here. Love everything you are doing. And as I told you earlier, that's not just buttering you up so you're nice to me for the podcast. I believe in what you're doing. So I'm cheering you on. It's an honor to be here.
I appreciate that very much. And it's nice to be with people who are like-minded and that having that positivity that you have, the energy matches well, I think, with us.
Oh, right? Yeah, I agree. We might explode the screen, but we're in.
Well, and it's funny because the different kind of interviews, and I know you work with people a lot too in different ways. The interview I have sometimes with different people, it's good to be able to match each other's energy. That's important. I think that's how people connect well. And people who can adapt to other people are just good at adapting to like struggles or just people, and they get along well. And I think that's what you're able to do, Phil. I think you get real, and I think we just need to dive into that. So tell about the work that you're actually doing, because it's a lot of good stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to. So by day, this is my 19th school year. I'm a chemistry and physics high school teacher. So I've been doing that for a minute and a half. And by night, I get to be a youth speaker with my best bud, Matt, as M&P Presentations. We love to build self-confidence in young adults through crazy scenario improv style experiences. Fun. That's humorous, high energy, but also super impactful. And then also since the COVID and pandemic lockdown, I've really dug into positive psychology, and it felt a huge tug on my heartstrings to help support educators, just incredible teachers that I admire that are so down or burned out, and I want to find ways to help them. So I've been pouring positive psychology into educators as a speaker, just trying to help them focus more on their personal life first so that they can pour into their professional life next. So I'm more of an upstream guy when it comes to helping teachers, and it makes me feel so good to help them, and hopefully then they can pour more into their students.
So what is your experience with that then that led you to knowing that when you pour into students more, their outcome is better? How did you get to that?
Yeah, I would just say I guess I've always had a lot of high positive energy, and I would probably rate myself pretty high on the empathy and love scale. So I like to meet my students where they are. I'm always, you know, I'd wear the human connection first shirt if someone gave it to me. I just think letting students know that you're here as you are and you're welcome to be here as you are. And then we're going to work from there and we're going to learn together and grow together. And I think that's always been my natural approach. That wasn't anything. It was just, that's just my personality, I suppose. And I felt like when I am at my best and I can pour into my students with that support, that love, all the corny stuff that people talk about, I think is some of the most important stuff, because when they know you're there for them, I think they really work harder for you and it'll go through the push through the hard parts or push through the times that may seem a little boring or that. And they do it because we've become like a family. So I say firsthand, when I'm at my best, my students are then at their best. They lean on me a little bit. So from my own personal experience, I would say that. And then just, you know, looking into positive psychology, the way we have human connections, the way that we feed off each other's energy. I think we all know when the classroom's vibing, people feel supported in themselves, there's going to be a lot more learning that can be done. I mean, probably a lot more than even the curriculum is supposed to. There's going to be life lessons and self-evaluation and growth. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of good stuff that can happen with that. So if I'm able to help teachers show up happier, like they're flourishing more energy with more of a positive mindset and create that upward spiral, I just think, man, not only are they going to have a better time, but students are going to feel a lot better too with their learning. And pushing through the hard stuff.
Yeah. Can you think of, and I wouldn't want you to name anybody, but can you think of teachers who clearly do not connect with their students? And I think we all, I think we could put those people on our top of mind, but why do you think they don't? And what do you think they need?
That's a great question. I think there's a couple things that could be. One of them I really think is that teachers that seem like they don't connect well with students, I think a lot of it is because of their personal life. I do think that life is so chaotic, they're so tired and exhausted that they're coming into school with a mindset of just survival. There's no idea of thriving. So that's, I love that question you asked, because that's what I love to do, is I love to help those teachers say, you know what, there's so much wonderful pedagogy, there's so many great things we can do in the classroom. But if we're a hot mess when we come to work, if we are exhausted, if we are mentally spent by 8 a.m., all those tips and tricks, they're not going to help us, because we're just going to be putting out what seem like huge fires constantly. But if we really just pause, back up a little, and take a little bit better care of ourselves, create a little bit more structure, feel a little bit more in control with our lives, all of a sudden, those things that used to be big fires are probably little flashes, little hot flashes. And I feel like we're more resilient, we're more open to being empathetic. And all of a sudden, everything just starts going better. And it's hard to like put your finger on it. Like, man, why did today go so much better? But I think a lot of it has to do with the duty to ourselves. We have to make sure we're taking the proper intentional steps with ourselves so that we can then show up. So for those teachers that are struggling, I in my heart don't believe they just don't like kids. And I wholeheartedly don't believe that they come to work wanting to upset children or to give off that energy. I just really think they're doing the best they can because their personal life is so taxing the way it's going currently.
Yeah. You know, it's so true. And I tell people this in the keynote that I do about thriving under pressure or whatever, because I've felt that, but I, like many, many educators, was compartmentalizing. Aren't we really good at doing that as educators? Right? That's our superpower. And my best friend, my sister friend, passed away right before the start of school in 2015. And I remember it was so hard to get through. It was like numbing, but then I wanted to show up. I wasn't going to take time off. Plus, I didn't really have time to take off, right? It's not a family member. You don't really get that time off. So you have to push through. Well, interestingly, what happened is I pushed through for about 3 years, and other things were happening in my family life too. So I was bringing that to school with me every day. And then my middle son said to me on New Year's Day, when we were exchanging New Year's resolutions, like we make them for each other, Phil, it's really fun.
Wow.
Right. So he said, Mom, for you, I want you to smile more. And I thought immediately of not only my own children, all my children who are my students, if it's doing that to him and my kids, what is it doing to my other kids? And how many of us are doing this? Because I didn't actually process that. And it was showing up physically for me in other ways that I couldn't understand. So 3 years of carrying that burden, and how many of us carry that with us to work every day? Or you have, like, parenting is so tough. I don't, do you have kids at home?
I do. I have two children, 11 and 8.
Oh, okay. I have a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 20-year-old. Right. So you're right in it. And it's, I don't know about you, Phil, but it is the most guilt ridden. Oh my God. I carry a lot of guilt from parenting. What about you?
I think that I'm lucky my wife is like my partner in crime, and we reflect a lot. Like, are we doing what we should be? Are we doing the best? And I have a different perspective because I'm in the education system with high schoolers and she's in the business world. So I kind of bring home and tell her what I'm seeing that concerns me for our children. So luckily we are constantly on, but we've said a lot of times, like, man, being a strong parent is not fun. You know,
right.
It's like, it would be so much more fun. Like, yeah, do that. You know, whatever, it's fine. And like, man, I always feel like I'm constantly correcting, redirecting. So I would say parenting is definitely can be exhausting, right? If we're, and again, that's upstream. If we're not taking good care of ourselves, then we have trouble showing up for our children as well. So And I would say that we look back all the time and say, oh, we could have handled that better. Shouldn't have started this precedent. So yeah, I think being a parent, I think it comes with the territory, some of the guilt, 100%.
Yeah. And I couldn't even find words for it because it hurt me so bad in a period of time around that time. And I do go back and I think of, I wish I knew, I wish I had given myself permission to learn a little bit more about how to protect myself and move through that. And that's why I really like the work that you're doing, Phil. So talk about that positive, like we don't want toxic positivity. That's not what you're doing here. You have very great, strong strategies that you present. And that's what I want you to talk about now. What about those people who are showing up in their homes, in their work, and they need something to keep them going? What would you suggest?
Yeah, I love to look at the upstream approach. So for me, my favorite thing I love to do with speaking with educators or any adult really is to first dig into what are the things that fill me up and light me up? What are the things that energize? And you can do that a couple of different ways. You can just look at your daily life and schedule and see what are the things you do that actually give you positive energy deposits where you feel energized and excited. You could also do the different character strength analyses online and survey format and kind of look at your top five things. And I love doing that too. Like I knew mine was love, humor, gratitude, love of learning, and something else. So however you want to dive into that, you want to start thinking about what are the things that fill me up and light me up. Then I love to go into a little bit deeper of, all right, so now that you're aware of these things that fill you up and light you up, how are you building them in intentionally into every single day? And if, you know, everyone's always resistant at first, well, I'm busy. You know, I can't do that every day. I'm like, I completely hear you. I've got two children. I have a career. I have two side jobs. Like I have a wife. I have to be a good husband. Like I have a lot going on too. I get it. Yeah. But I think sometimes people underestimate themselves and overestimate, you know, like how hard it is to fit things in. So when you find those little things that light you up. So for me, it's like, I love gratitude. I love to learn. I love music. I love time with my family. I love to be creative. There's different ways I can do that. And I hit on them every single day, 7 days a week. Wow. And I build that into my schedule. And I think a lot of times people think like you have to spend an hour on that, but maybe I only am creative for 15 minutes, but that's going to fill me up. So find what you love that fills you up. Be intentional about fitting it into your schedule every single day and stick with it. Be pretty rigid about it. Totally get it. Our lives are a mess. There'll always be things coming in to intervene, and that's fully expected. But when we have a game plan, when we have things scheduled, more often than not, we're going to hit on those things. And when we go to bed at night, instead of doing the, oh, I should have's, right? I should have worked out today. Oh, I should have maybe done a little bit of gratitude work in the morning. Would have probably been a little bit more positive. I don't know. Some people, I should have had made myself that nice cup of coffee that I enjoy in the morning. It doesn't have to be huge monumental things, but if you built it into your schedule, first of all, it takes less mental energy to hit on those things because it's already built in. So you're not mentally exhausted from when am I going to do this? When am I going to fit it in? Then next, you ended the day with doing a lot of little things that fill you up, so that your bank account, your positive mental bank account is higher, even though we all have to do things every day that drain us. You know, we have to, as educators, we have to talk with parents, tough conversations. We have to take on new jobs and activities because that's just what our job does, right? Sometimes those things are going to drain us, but as long as we're hitting on things every day that are going to be filling us up, we're going to be more energized, more resilient, more feel like we're thriving. And Charlie, as you know, the human brain, if we at least even feel like we're more in control, like that complete, I mean, we're not in control of anything, right?
Right. We might be living in a simulation, Phil. I don't know.
That's very true. Right now we're in some powerful computer and we're Sims, but right. You know, but the idea is that, you know, when the human brain feels like, yeah, I've got a grasp on this day. I've got control. Like, it automatically starts lowering our stress levels. It automatically starts making us feel different. So if you mix those things together, all of a sudden now, day in and day out, even though you've got tough things every day, even though we're not being oblivious and Pollyanna, toxically positive, whatever you want to call it, you're going to start ending your days feeling a lot better and more energized. And then once you get to a point where you've got that rhythm, then my favorite part is I like to talk about how you lean into your purpose, how you eventually get enough of that like energy that you can start giving it to others. And that's what I think is best for teachers. Teachers are naturally givers, but we're terrible at pouring. We just dump it all out and then like, oh, cry on the way home and like go home. Like that's not okay. Like that's our choice to do that, but there's a better choice. So once we get into that routine and we're thriving and we feel like we're overflowing, then we can start taking our little quirky gifts. And this is something I love to do. Whatever it is that makes you you, how are you giving that not only just to your students, but to your coworkers, to your community, to your family? So my example's, you know, super random, but like I love to cook and my love language is food. So I love to make like special surprise cakes for my coworkers, or sometimes I'll make baked goods and bring it into my classroom. I'll whip out a couple big electric skillets and start making pancakes. And again, every time I talk about this, I always tell anyone listening, like, I'm not telling you you need to take cooking classes and feed people, but I'm saying that that's my like unique, that's Phil. I like to cook and like serve people. And that's like how I express love. Because I have the energy to do that, the positive energy and the structure that gives me the energy to think ahead like that, it makes me feel even better. As you know, the reciprocity of giving to someone and them receiving, it's a win-win. You feel good, they feel good, you're developing relationships. So my last step is to lean into your purposes and passions. Once you have them and that energy, give them away to make the world a better place. And I think once we start doing that, all of a sudden we start showing up to work more connected to our coworkers, more connected to our students, more resilient to the random things that are always going to happen. And then from there, I think we're finally ready for, all right, here's this new strategy. Let's try it. We can get in a PLC group and actually be mentally and emotionally available to move forward.
Wow. Well, it's good to be able to have that perspective, Phil, because you describe something that's actually very physiological. Like all of those, the cobwebs that are in there that are pulling you down and keeping you from getting to that core of like, I can actually do this. I can fit something in. You're not seeing clearly when you have all those hormones and the cortisol flooding your brain with stress. I mean, it's physiological. Anxiety is a physiological response. Stress is physiological. And right. And so when we learn that, well, we can make the cortisol and all the things going on in our brain and our body, and we have that recede and find the calm physiologically, then you can tap into those things. And that's why I love your strategy, because those little things that you insert into your day that don't take up a lot of time that you like and love, that's what re-energizes you, because you're not stressed. Like if you're laughing, unless it's a nervous laughter, but if you're laughing for real, you're not stressed at the same time. So if you find somebody that makes you laugh, or you said you like music, right?
Love it. Yes.
What does music do for you?
Oh, it's like a stress reliever, a calmer. It's everything to me. It's a huge part of my life. I like music when students are coming in to set a tone. I have certain music I listen to on the drive home if I'm not listening to an audiobook. So music's always there for whatever mood I need to process through a feeling or to get myself to a feeling. So yeah, a huge part of my life.
Good. And it's simple, isn't it? You just use it to alter that state and sneak it in. You sneak it into your day in teaching, which is great. So what other strategies do you share when you're working with students? Because I know you work with students and educators. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. So the positive psych upstream thing is something I absolutely love. I work with the adults, specifically teachers, to help them be able to show up happier and like they're flourishing more, for sure. And then thanks for asking. I have the awesome pleasure for the last 11 years being a youth speaker with my best bud, Matt. We're called M&P Presentations, and we like to say we're cultivators of confidence and promoters of positivity. So what we love to do is to put junior high up to college level students into unique situations where they have the opportunity to take a healthy risk. And by doing so, they're putting themselves out there, pushing through an awkward moment, entertaining the crowd as well. And when we do these things, it slowly empowers them. So when Matt and I present, we're never really the focus of the presentation. We call them shows. The show isn't about Matt and I. We're air traffic control. We're putting the audience into the front seat, and they become like the stars of the show. And through their growth and experiences, which is always uniquely different depending on who comes up, it allows everyone to reflect on when we go through awkward moments. We like to say embrace the awkward. When we embrace the awkward, and we do that more and more often, we're callousing our mind, we're getting more resilient, we're willing to put ourselves out there more without fearing failure as much. So the more we can experience, the more we can jump on opportunities, it's exponential. You start to see more opportunities. You start to take more opportunities. You start to open up new doors. So we love to plant that seed early by showing them right there in front of them what can happen just a few moments. Why can't we be doing this more often to allow ourselves to flourish more, to grow in our self-confidence, and then eventually be confident enough in ourselves to be positive, to choose positivity as a mindset, to look on the bright side of things, and to accept that sometimes things in life aren't great, but we can choose to make the best possible outcome without ignoring it, or, as you said, be toxically positive, or to just, you know, be all Pollyanna about everything.
Right. It does matter. And you keep saying the same thing that's so important, Phil, is choice. When you give people choice, you're empowering them. Essentially, that's what you're doing. What about that apprehensive kid who is definitely insecure showing up with you and they're just not willing to try?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we always do everything by volunteer base, right? So we're definitely not looking to ever be sued for forcing a kid into an awkward
situation.
Good to
note, everybody.
Yes. But normally the people who come up, usually you have two kids, right? The ones that are all in, love the attention, and are wonderful role models for people that brush their shoulders off. Anything you want me to do, I'm in. I'm comfortable with me. And then the other half, 50%, usually regret once they get up there. So we talk through the process of the fact that you're up here volunteering for something that you don't know anything about shows how confident you are without even realizing it. And then we, you know, look to the crowd cheers them on. And then we walk through it step by step if we need to, depending on how much handholding they need. But always in 11 years, every student we've had has always gone through it officially. And honestly, the ones that struggle the most tend to get the most roaring reaction from the crowd because they push through even more. And then the best thing we can hear from the adults in the audience afterwards is the best compliment is, I can't believe you got that kid, that kid who doesn't say anything in class, or that kid who second guesses. I can't believe that you had that whole gymnasium screaming for them. That is going to mean so much to them. And we, you know, we're teachers, right, Charlie? You know, we walk through the processing with the kids. Like, do you realize what just happened, what your peer just did? And I think that by example empowers a lot of kids there. And as always, as you know, we always say there's a lot of teachers in this room right now that would rather stick a needle in their eye than be up here and doing that. So the fact that you could do it and many grown adults couldn't just yet again shows you how confident you are. So we absolutely love to do it. It's such a blast, and we're selfish because we love it so much. We're just lucky and glad that it helps kids too, because we just love doing it.
It is fun. And you are busy. I mean, you're a physics teacher, right? Chemistry and physics teacher?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. How do you get kids in your class to get fired up about chemistry and physics? Because that's a tough subject. What do you do there?
Yeah. It's definitely, we're salesmen and women, aren't we, in education? Yeah. I'm selling them something that they don't want to buy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the number one thing for me is I show up with high energy, and man, do they know when I don't have it. They notice right away. I think they get used to it. And then on days that I don't have it, maybe I'm off. It's funny, they'll check on me, which I think is a wonderful sign of our connection. You know, hey, you doing okay today? You don't seem your normal self, you know? So I think that's a pretty amazing thing that they know that I'm there for them. And when I'm not feeling it, that they come check on me instead, which I think is super sincere. But I think showing up with the positive energy, I think having the music when they walk in to set the tone, to be excited about the material. I also am very transparent, always asking the question of, you know, why do we even care about this? Like, why on earth should we even know this? So I think that always perks their ear up, because they, you know, they like to prove you wrong, that it's not important. So right. I'm very transparent, open with them. And I definitely think we're at the same level, as opposed to me up top looking down on them. I think we're always there. And because of that, sometimes they challenge you in a way that probably wasn't worded appropriately at all the time. So we, you know, you have to walk through that boundary to let them know, like, hey, just so you know, right here, that was actually okay. But for most adults, that probably wouldn't have went well. Mm-hmm. So I know that when you tiptoe to that level, sometimes they have trouble knowing where the boundary is and can be a little too transparent with you. But I went off on a tangent there. Sorry.
No, it's good. Anyways, we're talking about kids. It's okay.
But I do think me showing up and being enthusiastic about what I do naturally gets them more enthusiastic about it too.
Yeah. And you can tell that too. And it goes back to you having that general, not general, you have that deep connection. And that's the general consensus, is that we all need the connection and the trust in order to, you know, get these kids jazzed up about anything. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So what are your future plans then? Where do you want to take this, Phil?
Yeah, thanks. I am super excited. And as we talked about before we press record, I'm a marketing nightmare because I've got so many things going on. I'm loving the youth speaking. It's so wonderful. And that's been going well for 11 years. I've been very lucky to speak to educators, and that's been slowly building. And so well that I created something called the Positive Growth Lounge, which is a small group membership where we meet twice a month as educators. And we always have a new positive psychology topic each meetup, where we meet for about 40 minutes virtually, pour into each other. How did our week go? What were some wins? What were some challenges? And then dive into, okay, let's look into one quick thing that we can think about to better improve our personal lives, so that when we show up in 2 weeks, we can be just a little bit better, maybe 1% better. And that's something that I just kind of thought of that I needed for myself. And I thought, might as well create it just because I need it, and maybe others will. And we've got a small but mighty group that we lean on each other. And it's the highlight of my month professionally, just being able to connect with this family. I guess I call it more than a membership. And so I think I would love to grow that and allow more teachers to connect, especially with teachers not in their building, so that you can sometimes be a little bit more transparent and candid. So we have members from California, Louisiana, Florida, up by me in Illinois, Chicagoland area. It's really cool to hear different teachers at different age levels in different states, just hearing their ideas. We become like a big think tank. So I think I want to continue that for sure. And I would just love to reach more and more teachers, just because I think so many need it. And I've been lucky to have a good system that's really worked for me over the years, that I think could benefit a lot of other teachers.
It definitely could. It absolutely. So that work is important for today, like just to keep people going. Where would they find that group? Like, how can they connect?
Oh yeah. My name's everywhere obnoxiously on Google. If you search Phil Januszewski, you'll find me through my website. It's called the Positive Growth Lounge. And any teacher in the United States is welcome to check out a meeting just to see if it's their kind of people and their kind of vibe. And then we go from there. If you're interested in joining, that's it. We kind of join. There's a monthly or a yearly membership fee just to hold ourselves accountable. Otherwise, you know the deal, Charlie. If it's free, we end up never coming because there's, you know,
absolutely.
I'll skip it. But yeah, we just do that to keep ourselves honest and Yeah, anyone who's listening that's an educator is more than welcome. Just search my name, philjanoszewski.com, and you'll find my site there. And I'd love to introduce you to the family and see if it's a good fit for you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Just check it out. I do that with this other group that I'm a part of. And I tell people, just come in. It's actually not expensive. It's 1 month. Just try and you can just leave when you're ready. But you know what? They don't leave. They don't leave because it's so well connected, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you see the value, and Charlie, kind of like you said, like when your son said he wanted to see you smile more, and all of a sudden it's like the blinders came off and you're like, wow, I didn't even know I needed this.
Right.
I think that's what we're all finding. And I made it selfishly for me. And then after a couple meetings, I was thinking, I can't believe how much I've needed this to connect and to grow and to brainstorm and get creative and excited. So I know that that's the same for others. So absolutely. Once you kind of jump in and see the reason behind it and the genuine, you know, approach to everybody, just here to support, grow, and get a little bit better. Yeah, you're right. It kind of sells itself.
It really does. And I'm saying more about this because I understand how it is. It's an investment, but the thing is that so many teachers tell me that they don't have time for therapy. And that's the, you know, therapy is my background, but yes. I always agree with them. I know because I was in it. And to go to one therapy session once a week, which there were times I did, but then to do that long-term was really tough. So the cost of your membership, which I don't know what it is, but I know it's not as much as that is. And the time commitment is not it. And you get to sit in your PJs and just, right? You could just sit it. It's such a good way to do it. I know because I've done it myself in other groups, and it's so worth it. I wish I would have come up with yours a long time ago. I wish I would have known you. I would have joined in a second.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Okay. So I did put all of your links on the show notes and everything. Is there anything that we've missed, Phil, that we need to say before we go?
I don't believe so. I just really appreciate your time and excited to connect. And I think your audience gets so much value out of the conversations you bring with other people. So again, not to be redundant, but I'm flattered and honored to be here at part of your guest show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I am honored to have you, Phil. Thank you so much. Did you get your school mental health audit yet? You can get it at thrivingeducator.org/audit. And if you're working on mental health PD planning, check out all the ways we can support you while you're there on our website already. It's just under professional development. And listen, if you found value in today's episode, please share it in your network for those who will benefit. And if you could give it a rating and review it, that would be great. We really appreciate you. Thanks for listening.